you go back to the year 2000, we actually had a balanced budget. In 2000, the General Accountability Office said, you know, looks like major weapon systems cost overruns that year about $45 billion, which is a lot of money then. Fast forward to, I think, about 2005, the cost overruns were up to about $200 billion in major weapon systems cost overruns. Move up to, I think, 2007, we're up to about $295. And GAO has just released their latest update. And the report for 2010, major weapon systems cost overruns were about $310 billion. And so if you look from 2000 to about 2010, that's 10 years, they've increased almost eightfold, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's almost an eightfold increase, still a sevenfold increase. And you know, we have a huge deficit now. It's $1.5 trillion. So we've got to look at, I like to say, every nook and cranny federal government, every federal program, defense, domestic, entitlements, all this stuff, and find ways to get better results for less. And when we're spending about $400 billion or $310 billion more than we ought to be spending on these major weapon systems, that's a very good place to start. So we're bringing in some good people from the acquisition shop in the Department of Defense. They're telling us what they've identified, what they're doing, and we're going to try to figure out what we can do collectively between the executive branch, us, the contractors as well, to ratchet that $310 billion number down to help be part of the overall deficit reduction.
Do you get a sense that any of this is connected, Senator, to the Pentagon situation with their financial accounting overall, with their financial management overall?
You know, I think a big problem here, and we had a hearing on this about 3 years ago. We invited in the top acquisition people who work for Secretary Gates then. And one of those is actually coming back. He works somewhere else now, but we're bringing him back. But one of the things we identified, maybe three things. One, the contractors overpromise. In some cases, the military branches, the armed forces, they keep changing what their minds of what they want. That's really like project creep. And the other thing that goes on here, the folks that are supposed to be minding the store and overseeing this whole acquisition process in the Department of Defense, they have turnover, and we end up with extended periods of time where there are not many people minding the store and keeping watch on what the contractors are doing.
You've got so many moving parts here, Senator Carper. You've got the hiring process, you've got the appointment process, you have the overall acquisition process, and the Pentagon financial management process. What kind of a convergence do you see to try to find a solution to this, and what kind of resistance, if any, are you encountering to wanting to look at all these issues?
Well, we'll just start with the executive branch stuff. We have what I call executive branch Swiss cheese through much of our federal government. Senators Schumer and Alexander, myself and others are introducing legislation, I believe this week, that will reduce by about a third the number of folks that have to go through the confirmation process. The opposition to that are some committee chairs don't want to give up the ability to screen those 400, 500 positions that we want to take out of the confirmation process. There, some of them are reluctant to give that up. In terms of the rest of it, what you have with the Department of Defense, you've got agencies, you know, whether in this case it's branch of the Armed Forces, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, they sometimes just change what they have in mind. And what we've got to do a much better job, and this really has to come from the leadership of the Secretary and folks in acquisition, they need to have a very good idea of what they want and what they need in a weapon system. And we have to have a better idea of whether or not the folks, the contractors, are over-promising. In some cases, they promised technology that hadn't been developed, can't be sort of brought in off of the shelf and actually implemented it into to a weapon system. So we need to do a much better job of guarding against, I'll call it, project creep. And we have the same problem with our IT systems and other part of our government. The other thing is to make sure that the technology that's being actually suggested by the contractors, they actually know how to do it, actually know how to put it into a system.
All right. This afternoon, this hearing happening with Frank Kendall and Richard Burke of DOD, representing the first panel, as you mentioned, the Department of Defense itself, and then also hearing from some experts on the second panel, John Young, a former acquisition official at DOD, Michael Sullivan of the GAO, and Moshe Swartz of the Congressional Research Service. What are you asking each of these people to address specifically when they come before you today?
Well, one of the questions is, you know, we've got about a third of our major weapon systems have triggered something called the non-McCurdy breach. And that means that the particular weapon systems is at least 15% over budget, or in some cases as much as 50% over budget, but somewhere in that range. And we have one company has 9 different weapon systems that have reached the non-McCurdy trigger. Another company has like 18 different weapon systems that have breached non-McCurdy. Now, there are probably companies, probably contractors, that build out a lot of different weapon systems. But we're going to drill down on those and find out why are these two companies that, like, they have almost the lion's share of the breaches. So if you think 1 out of every 3 major weapon systems is triggered non-McCurdy, but we've got these two companies that have triggered them, in one case 9 times, another case 18 times over the last 12 years, we want to find out why.